From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Okay, welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Today we're going to talk about, of course, at the top, the violent incident in the United States. Violence, I think it's biblical, begets violence. So everybody be very aware of that. And also, we were advised, soft words turn away anger. So in the show today, we're going to be talking probably in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to Tony Leah of Unifor about developments, particularly around this urgent matter for Canadians of electric vehicles. The United States has decided to draw a line and notice something. Both Trump and Biden, who are being told are such dramatically different people, both of them want tariffs on inexpensive electric vehicles, which are produced in China. And they speak in language which is threatening and militaristic, both of them. So we want to talk about what is this electric vehicle phenomena, how does it affect labor, and why Canada would join others in violating principles of free trade and also World Trade Organization rules. We'll go into all that. With Tony Leah, we're also going to talk about the response of organized labor to this. So it should be quite interesting. I'll note at the top, and in a few minutes we'll play a little bit of a song by, probably about 15 minutes, we'll play a song by Dave Van Ronk called He Was a Friend of Mine, and that would be allusion to our old friend Van Velsen. Andrew Van Velsen died apparently a few days ago. He had been one of the people who responsible for my being part of CIUT. I'll talk about that a bit. On the matter of the assassination attempt on Trump, of course, Americans are very self-centered about all this, and they want to say that they own the, they're sort of, they have a problem domestically of guns and inflamed rhetoric, and they do. They are guilty. They have both phenomena, and they had throughout their history. But we ought to remember in the past 12 months that the leader of Slovakia, which doesn't have the same history as the United States, an attempt was made, and he was nearly killed. I think he's a prime minister. I don't know their system, the constitution. He's either the president of or the prime minister of Slovakia. Leaders in Sweden there have been a couple of assassinations. It is something that will happen because primarily we have states that are engaged in activity which involves them continually in war or preparation to war. And there is also questions of alignment, who you align with, and if a leader changes dramatically the direction of his country or he talks about it, there is a risk somebody acting in the way that this assassin did. And it's always agreed when these things happen that they love to say lone wolf. they wouldn't know they killed the guy, so they didn't capture him. They apparently had adequate opportunity, by the way. They will explain themselves. The ones I watched on CNN last night were just pathetic. All they were company guys, and immediately went into defense mode of how correct they are and how they have protocols, and they have contact with local police, and they have coordinates, and they have all this malarkey. The shooter was only 350 yards away. Was it 350 feet? I don't know, 300 yards. It was, I would say, it was a good, an easy range for anybody with a sight, special sight. You can buy these things now. It's not that they're marksmen. You can buy weapons. It ain't gonna miss. This guy was not inside the perimeter they'd established, but it was clearly an easy shot. And so they have also a breakdown of who they are. They have they just flash credentials. Oh, this is the FBI, everybody bow down. Oh, we're the so-and-so, we're the SWAT team, everybody bow down. A lot of them don't know what they're doing. A lot of them are egomaniacs. And when you have officers, you always have captains and leaders. And if you got a dumb one, nobody's going to help be able to save you. And there's a lot of dumb commanders. And they usually cover it up by being loud and confident, which just makes it just a lot worse. The rhetoric of the United States, they need to everybody has to recognize. Under Dwight Eisenhower, I guess it was, they assassinated Lumumba. He was the elected leader of Congo, and the Americans were very comfortable taking him out. Trump was responsible. He said he was for murdering an Iranian leader, assassinating an Iranian leader. They have a constitutional government. The U.S. doesn't like it, but they have what they have. They have their own government. He was an officer in their military. The individual Soleimani was visiting Baghdad on a peace mission. And he and other leaders, by the way, you always remember the other people involved. He was killed, and this was something the Americans thought they should crow about. So, okay, that was Trump. The Democrats didn't complain. They didn't think that was, they didn't see any problem with that, murdering a foreign leader. The most famously, Hillary Clinton said of Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, one of the most popular leaders in the Middle East and certainly in Africa, great friend and comrade to all the African liberation movements, particularly on the front of giving economic assistance to really poor and developing societies who are being dictated to by the International Monetary Fund and by Paris and London and New York, basically, dictated to, told what they could buy, what they could sell, how much, etc., and also give up their resources to foreigners, foreign powers. So Gaddafi, and also, by the way, a dear friend of Nelson Mandela, who everyone here pretends they respect. They don't respect him at all, because he said he had passed on, but at the time of Gaddafi's death, but he had said, this is our friend because the Americans didn't help us. He helped us. And so Hillary Clinton said, we came, we saw, and he died. And then she and her entourage cackled. That was cackling. They were cackled about that. And we all got to watch it. It was on CNN. No Republican, no Democrat said, hey, you know, we really ought not to talk like that. There was reaping and sowing, you know. That was deliberate. In the case of John F. Kennedy, he had a couple of leaders that he had put in place. He in the United States, Republicans and Democrats, had put in place a family to run Vietnam. And the two leaders were, they were called the Diem brothers. Diem. And they were seen to be, at a certain point, no longer useful. They were assassinated, both of them. And U.S. was behind that. That was John F. Kennedy himself. And people, see, the thing is, people were very, didn't see a problem with that. Madam, a famous woman called Madam Nu, sister of the two brothers, was always seen as a possible suspect in the death of John Kennedy. Her name came up, mainly because she had what they'd call a motive, and she had said publicly that the Kennedy brothers had killed her brothers. Being comfortable with killing foreigners and waging wars and talking, the most dangerous talk of all, is, and again, shared, exactly shared by Trump and Biden. They say, and Biden said it again at the press conference, which was supposed to show he was still functioning. He said that America has to lead the world because it is the indispensable nation, he emphasized and repeated. So when he later made a slip and said that Trump was his vice president, he got a little confused. As far as I'm concerned, that wasn't a bad idea. Why not? You want to unify the country, but make Trump the vice president? Because the two of them agree on funding and expanding the war in Ukraine, which is the one that will most likely incinerate us if we don't look out. They're absolutely in step on that. About 3 months ago, Congress was arguing, and Republicans were allegedly holding back on their contribution, they're letting the funding go through a huge amount of financial commitment to the widening capacity to widen the war of Ukraine. And Donald Trump said, gave the signal, he agreed. And so those who'd been kind of tiptoeing then began to march. And so he acted like a vice president. The president wanted something, and he thought it over, and they fell in line. So they don't have a problem with this. And, you know, when you have people being killed at the other end of the Pentagon's plans, these kinds of things create tensions and confusion, and they do redound. I'm not saying there's a one-to-one link. What is that you have an environment where you're comfortable with reaching out beyond your territory and murdering somebody or helping murder them, and then even celebrating it when you do it, you're unleashing dark forces inside your own culture and society. And rhetoric that, and here, let's indict our parliamentarians, which they should be on this point. They talk now because the Globe and Mail had an interview with a source inside I call them the secret police. The source said, there's people friendly to China or working for China or in our parliament. And the cry went up, find the traitors. And if you call somebody a traitor, or if you suggest he's there somewhere, he's in the dark, and everybody's looking for him, you're inviting mayhem. It's completely irresponsible that newspapers say, oh, traitors, you know, where are the traitors? If a traitor, that's heavy language. People, the ordinary guy who just bought a rifle with a scope might think, well, I read about this guy in the Globe, or I read about him in the Star, and he seems to be. He must be the guy. So I'll do the country a favor. Yes, people ought to watch their mouths. And in this, these crises, they ought to follow the law. If you think, if you want to accuse somebody, do it in public, and then you better stand behind what you say, because otherwise, you're the problem. It's the hysteria, which Canadians are very susceptible to hysteria. When they start using words like that, based on zilch, then that's when the country's not actually committed to law and dialogue. But it's just witch hunting. And Canadians are as bad for witch hunting as the Americans are. And we could go into that at great length, and we will in future programming. So we'll be talking more about these matters toward the end of the show. I want to say again that Andrew Van Velsen and Suhair Kashmiri invited me. We were now the Taylor Report, but then we were caffeine-free. And we used to, we did a lot of interesting programming. Kashmir had worked at the Globe. He was a great writer. He wrote, and had written a couple of important books. Also worked at Now. And Andrew was a stringer for the Los Angeles Times. But they both moonlighted as people who had opinions and knowledge and were gutsy people. Andrew was somebody who demonstrated against the manufacture of weapons, the most dangerous kind, and Canada's involvement with NATO and all that. He climbed a fence once, got arrested. Peter Rosenthal was his lawyer. I remember that part. Anyway, I'm very appreciative of Andrew Van Velsen, and I miss him. And so we'll play a little bit of Dave Van Ronk, and then we'll come back and talk to Tony Leah.